Okay, so welcome to the service this morning. We're going to have Ian speaking to us today on teaching on gifts. Before all that, I just want to start with an opening prayer, and we've got a few notices. We've got some notices in person, and then Steve will run the reel, so to speak. So let's just still our hearts, and we'll just join together in a prayer. Father, thank you for this new day, for the opportunity to meet together in freedom and to be able to praise, worship and serve you. Guide our thoughts, words and actions, not only in our time together this morning, but every day, so that all that we do is in accordance with your will. Amen.
Good morning. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence him. This is a safe place. We are surrounded by the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in your manifest presence amongst us this morning, to speak to our hearts, to anoint our lips, to bring glory to our Father in heaven, and to lift up the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome you here, Lord. The words for this next song were written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The baby who was prophesied in those words of Isaiah came to be crucified and to rise again because of his great love for us.
Calling us to the cross.
Thank you for
thank you.
here this morning. Sorry, I wasn't rude to you there when you said, what are you going to be talking about?
I
just wanted to keep the anticipation such as it was, you know, build up the moment, you know, it's really important. So, this morning, I'm carrying on with the talks on spiritual gifts, and no prizes for guessing. I'm going to talk about teaching, so I'm going to do some teaching on teaching this morning. And although perhaps not found in the most well-known list of spiritual gifts that you find in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, which a lot of people tend to use as their list for spiritual gifts, teaching is found in three other lists of spiritual gifts. Further on in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And there's another list by Paul in Romans 12, 4 to 8. I'll read the whole section, but I'm just putting a couple of the verses up there. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. We've had that this morning. In proportion to our faith, or in ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And it's also one of the fivefold ministries in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these appear three times in Paul's letters, and it suggests therefore to me that this is an important topic. It's also a ministry that I am involved in myself. It's fairly obvious because I'm stood here in front of you, and I'm going to do my best. So I wanted to talk about that this morning and increase my own understanding as well as share some thoughts with you this morning. Of course, there's also the familiar exhortation from Jesus himself in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So teaching is a means of supporting the work of the Holy Spirit, through which disciples of Jesus are continually transformed, and that word will come up again later, transformed in order to be more like him. Teaching is different from lecturing. I remember hearing a definition of lecturing as being the process of transferring information from the notes of the lecturer into the notes of the student without passing through the brains of either. That, I hope, is not what we're about this morning. And from a Christian perspective, I found these definitions of teaching, which I think may be helpful. Teaching, and they're on the slide, teaching is the message explained, clarified, and applied with exhortation, primarily for the purpose of building faith, Christian conviction, and character. And another working definition I came across, which possibly I prefer actually, is teaching is the Spirit-given ability to teach God's word with clarity, applying it with accuracy so that people grow in Christian maturity. So transformation is the goal, not merely transfer of information. 2 Timothy 4:1-4 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and teaching. Going on too fast there. One little bit first. Who is a teacher? People with this gift are learners, loving to study the Bible. It is said that this gift is closely linked to the gifts of shepherding, together with words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And Colin spoke about those recently. If you haven't heard his talk, it's available on the website. That's the end of the commercial. By now, some of you may have tuned out. Looking round now. Anybody looking suspicious? Somebody? Nobody suddenly jerked away. That's good. Pleased about that. Because you're thinking, this doesn't apply to me. I don't stand up there teaching. I'm not a teacher. So I'll just relax and think about the worship that we've just heard and have a good rest and catch up on a few Z's. But I've got news for you. There are, obviously, clearly, some roles within the fellowship that contain a responsibility for teaching. Those who give talks at the front, for instance. Those who lead house group studies. Those who go off and teach our children and young people. But I would suggest that most, if not all of us, are involved in teaching someone something at some time. So this message has application for all of us. Now I'll go on to the next slide. But be warned. Teaching carries significant responsibilities. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And James 3:1 warns, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And that verse from James is in the part of the section in James on taming the tongue. James establishes the principle that small things can have great results. He isn't necessarily advocating that only a few teach. Rather, don't take this responsibility lightly before you take it on. Teachers, in whatever capacity, have responsibility. The wider the scope, I would suggest, the more the responsibility. Like now, teachers were important in the early church. You see this in Acts chapter 2, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Those who were ambitious sought teacher status for the wrong reasons. But with greater responsibility comes greater expectations. Luke 12, 48, Hebrews 13, 17 say that. And teachers will be judged with greater strictness since they are accountable for more. So be careful. We undertake this task with all seriousness and due diligence, knowing the outcome if we deliberately mislead. We must not teach what the Bible doesn't teach or fall short of what it does teach. Now, this one, I actually felt when I thought about it a little bit more that I wanted to change the title of this because it sounds extremely dogmatic. How should we teach? That's not quite what I meant. It was a question to myself, okay, what's the application for what we're saying this morning? So it's just some thoughts, and if I got round to it, I would have probably changed it to how might we teach. So it's not dogmatic, but these are just some thoughts that might be helpful. As I say, I was trying to learn myself from this as well. So, how might we teach? Often the most difficult task isn't what to include, it's what to leave out. You can always say more. Simplicity is often the key. We shouldn't compromise the word of God by trying to please our hearers, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Sometimes the word can be hard to hear, usually because we don't have the advantage of God's omniscience and his perfect perspective and understanding, so we don't really have the full picture as to what's going on, which can make some things in Scripture hard to understand and hard to hear. Teach the whole counsel of God. The word that we give should be consistent with the message of the Bible as a whole, not just selecting specific verses to underline the point that we want to make, our own particular agenda. So always think of it as a whole. And remember that it's also good to stick to the core story in Scripture, that of God redeeming a people to himself through Christ for his glory. Paul summarizes the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ is the key. He unlocks the Old and New Testament. It's all about Jesus. And remember, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's about transformation, not just transfer of information. Transformation requires application to our lives, and it's therefore vital that what we teach, we practice. And first and foremost, I'll put this last because people tend to remember what you say last, but it probably should be first. Pray. Seek the inspiration and understanding Holy Spirit can give to the word that we have. Now, if you have convinced yourself that you won't be, you never will be, and you never do teach, there are responsibilities for those being taught as well. Those who receive teaching have responsibilities. Acts 17:11, second part of that verse, says of the Bereans, they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This is actually a favourite verse of Chuck Misler. It's above the Koinonia Institute, which he set up, which is about Bible teaching, urging listeners to his teaching not to take his word for it, but to search the Scripture out for ourselves. This is so important in the age in which we live, and I'll go back to what Tom shared with us earlier. We can be distracted. Focus on Jesus, focus on Scripture. There is so much information and opinion out there, it's very easy to get misled if we're not extremely careful. So test everything out. Jesus warns of this in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Deception is out there. Be on your guard and check everything against Scripture, including what I've said today. Don't take my word for it. Look it up for yourselves. And remember what Tom shared. Focus on Jesus. We all have favourite teachers. Chuck Misler, Roger Price, David Paulson, Andrew Glomack, Joseph Prince, Joyce Meyer, to name but a few, and all of those have been part of my Christian journey, and I've gained much from those teachers in my Christian life. But none of them are infallible. So just to finish, the goal of teaching is transformation, not merely transfer of information. If we're involved in teaching, in whatever capacity, we are to undertake this ministry with all diligence, representing God in all truth. As this ministry influences others, it carries great responsibility. And Scripture says it carries a stricter judgment. Simplicity is often the key. Looking at the whole counsel of God and remembering Jesus is central to everything. Practice what we teach. Pray to the Holy Spirit for inspiration. And those receiving teaching have a responsibility to test all that we hear against Scripture. No teacher is infallible. Thank you for your attention.
Well, what a meaty service, eh? There's a lot in there. And because of that, if anybody does want to speak to anybody afterwards, I think the prayer ministry team will be available. And maybe just with the carol service practice going on the stage straight after, I maybe suggest to meet the other side of the room so that they can, if you want to speak to somebody, they can hear what it is that you're saying. So don't forget, if you can leave the room to go for the lovely refreshments as soon as you can, that would be helpful. But somebody's switching on already. Your marks get set up, Betty. Yeah, just mind you don't get mowed down on the way out. But no, let's just close the meeting in prayer. And I'm going to base this prayer just on Ephesians 3:16. Father, out of your glorious riches, strengthen us with your power. Dwell in our hearts so that we might be rooted and established in love. That we would indeed grasp how wide, how long, how deep and how high this love is. A love that surpasses all our humanly knowledge. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.